Welcome to Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. A lot going on here in Phoenix. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo and Bob Brack. So Bo was at the introductory press conference for the Brick House that is now going to play linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals and Terrell Suggs, Jordan Hicks. Was anybody else there?
No, Jordan Hicks is today.
Oh, Jordan Hicks is today. That's right.
So is J.R. Sweezy. That's a great name. J.R. Sweezy. It sounds like a rapper name or somebody that plays in the NBA, but not a big white offensive lineman.
Sweezy with the pancake.
It's J.R. Sweezy, your big offensive lineman, your guard. It Hicks Sweezy today. Yesterday was the homegrown guys. It was
Brett, that's right, Brett Hundley.
Brett Hundley came out just guns blazing yesterday. He just sat down. He was Chatty Cathy. He was excited to be home. He kind of told the story about how it was going to be a surprise for him to just be in town and kind of surprise his parents. But as soon as he landed, he got the green light that he was going to sign with the Cardinals. And then in this day and age, he gets scooped by local newsman Bruce Cooper over at Channel 12.
Coop.
His parents find out through Cooper.
Bastard.
Yeah, that Hundley's coming to Arizona. And also from, a takeaway from Hundley's press conferences, he's vying for that number one spot. Yeah. I mean, I get it, but at the same time, there is enough. I think there's enough buffer there that if it's Rosen or if it is Kyler Murray, that those guys are going to be safely atop the depth chart with Brett Hundley being a far second. But it's fine. I like the move of Hundley as your backup quarterback. Yeah. I like that he's got the confidence that he wants to be number one. You want that. You want him to prepare just like he's number one. It kind of strikes me of the Drew Stanton Carson Palmer thing, mm-hmm. where Drew Stanton would never concede just being a backup quarterback, but he also knew his role.
Yeah, I mean, in Brett Hundley, we said yesterday, he's non-threatening,
right?
Just as a personality, which is good. He seems to be he's going to be a career backup. It seems,
yeah,
because he was with Green Bay and then Seattle. He got traded to Seattle, right?
Right.
Am I missing a spot?
No,
because he's only been in the league 2 years. This will be his third year.
No, he's been in this. I think this will be his fourth year.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's coming out of college. There were high hopes with him at UCLA and just never really amounted to much.
He might even be his fifth year because he was the predecessor to Josh Rosen. And Josh Rosen played 3 years in college.
All right, fair
and
enough.
This is his fourth year removed from high school.
All right. Well, either way, he's a non-threatening backup. And, he'll be serviceable. He was serviceable, won a couple games in Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers went down. But the Terrell Suggs thing still, it intrigues me. And this is so Arizona Cardinals. It's 3 years after your prime. 3 years after your prime has been completed. And I know Terrell Suggs, he had the Achilles injury, came back stronger than ever a couple years ago. Like, the dude is a specimen. And I haven't seen him in person yet. I came out right after, they signed him. Like, I can't wait to see this dude in person.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't wait to see how much of a brick house this dude is. And James Harrison played till he was almost 40.
Mm-hmm.
James Harrison played at a high level until he was almost 40. So who knows what Terrell Suggs will do on the field, but off the field it'll be immeasurable, the intangibles that he can bring to this locker room.
Terrell Suggs, 36 years old. He's got probably one season where he really had a bad injury.
Yeah.
He had the Achilles injury that, everybody kind of knows it's infamous around here because there was the rumors that he was playing basketball at a local LA Fitness and he tore his Achilles, and that's what caused him to miss basically an entire season for the Baltimore Ravens. But regardless, he's been relatively healthy. He's 36 mm-hmm. years old. You mentioned the size. I got to witness him in person. I was a few feet away from him, shook his hand, just a big dude, right? I can't imagine. He says he
Were his hands as big as your head?
He's just a monster.
Yeah.
He's just a monster. He the thing is though is he kind of looks at or the word pass rusher
mm-hmm.
he doesn't like it because he wants to be more of a complete linebacker. But when you look at a dude at his size and his age, you got to think, is he athletic enough to go into coverage? I don't know if he is. That's his take on it.
Yeah.
What the Cardinals, how they're going to utilize him, how Vance Joseph is going to utilize him in his 34 defense. It's probably getting after the passer,
yeah.
7 sacks. If he can be a rotation guy, if he can be a voice in that locker room, I think that's more what you're looking through from Suggs. And my takeaway from the press conference yesterday is he just commanded the room. And he made it, everybody aware of that he didn't have to come do this, but he wanted to.
Yeah.
And he's not here to just be Emmitt Smith, chase the money. He got 1 year, $7 million. Suggs did. But he doesn't want to just come here and waste away in the twilight of his career.
Yeah. And listen, this is what was said. This is what we talked about. We talked about on the show that I'm on, the Freaks 1 to 4, Monday through Friday, Fox Sports 910. You needed a couple guys that wanted, that did the Cardinals a favor by wanting to come here.
Sure.
It mutually beneficial, but chose the Cardinals as a destination place, whether it be for the weather or whatever. When you see the defense that the Cardinals have put together over the last few seasons, it's above average. The offense has been putrid, but the defense has pieces in place to where if you have a couple more guys, you can be an all-world defense. And Terrell Suggs saw that.
Yeah.
He probably saw the vacancy of a leader. There's no leader on this defense, at least not a vocal one. He comes in. It's going to be fluid. It's going to be homegrown because he grew up here, played football here. He did the Cardinals a favor, although all the while helping himself to make this team better. And this is what the Cardinals needed to happen this offseason, including Jordan Hicks, who not a huge name, but a guy that wanted to prove himself, wanted to make some cake, and came in, and he's going to be a great linebacker too. So this is exactly what the recipe was for success for the Cardinals this offseason. And they still have $30-plus million to spend. So on the other side, I know I teased at the end of the podcast yesterday that we're going to talk about what really needs to be done with the number one overall pick, Nick Bosa or otherwise. We'll talk about that later on. The Cardinals made a signing yesterday, and we'll talk about that next. Locked On Cardinals. Welcome back, Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Listen to me, Fox Sports 910 Phoenix, 1-4 on the Freaks. And Bo, after our show, 4-7, he's on the drive. Fox Sports 910 Phoenix as well. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Our numbers have never been higher. It sounds like, you know, this is fun, which it is for Bo and myself. But we, you know, bust our asses for this. And we appreciate the responses. Please leave us responses. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Leave reviews. We want to hear positive or negative. Trust me, people have not been shy to leave some negative reviews for me for when I first started this podcast. Luckily there's
About those. I wasn't with the show then, and I was just
I almost didn't even bring this up. I mean, imagine talking about this team the year before they signed Joshua. I mean, it was awful.
You were talking about a team at this point last season that had just signed Sam Bradford. That was their main acquisition in the offseason.
Yeah.
Other than that, you were talking about Steve Wilks at head coach, Mike McCoy at offensive coordinator, Al Holcomb, Sam Bradford. I can't think of a more boring trio.
It was awful.
A quartet there. I can't think of a more boring quartet than that. Last year was brutal. It's the complete opposite end of the spectrum this offseason. I mean, we're talking about number one overall pick. You've got not only Josh Rosen, but you have the Kyler Murray angle. You've got some decent acquisitions in the free agency. It's night and day as far as offseason.
I was not, I didn't mince words, and I don't. I mean, it's so boring to be like, well, you know, both of these things could happen and we're going to sugarcoat everything. Screw it. People didn't like, and the two people that laid the bad reviews, and please look at them, they're fantastically bad reviews, were that I was giving hot takes and I was not saying, somebody threw in a Skip Bayless there. I'm sorry that you don't like that your team sucks and they're making bad moves. I'm not going to be like, it's going to be okay, guys. You know, everything will be fine. It wasn't going to be fine, and we saw that play out in the season. So I was more of a Nostradamus than anything, and I apologize that I didn't sugarcoat the words.
You clearly were humbled by the bad reviews.
I was. So anyways, as it were, but please leave reviews. All joking aside, we love to hear from you. Reach out on Twitter at Clancy's Corner, at Bob Rack, I guess, at Locked On AZ Cards. We want to hear what you have to say on how to make the podcast better or to continue to do what we're doing that you like, which is primarily me talking. I get it. So, Kevin White, number 7 overall pick in the 2015 draft. Is that right? 15? By the Chicago Bears? 67, 80, yeah. 15.
No, oh, yeah, yeah.
The 2015 draft.
7th overall.
Yeah. West Virginia was supposed to be a home run. He's a cautionary tale now as to if somebody's... I think he had an injury in college. If you're injured in college and you're a top flight wide receiver...
He was actually just kind of injured in training camp. That's kind of where it
that
starts.
Was it.
Yeah, I mean he had stress fractures.
Okay.
He played for the most part at West Virginia. I mean his tape helped him out a lot during the draft process, and then he was a freak at the combine. So yeah, Kevin White he was one of those like quick risers on the draft boards.
Just a surefire number one receiver.
Size, athleticism,
everything.
Yeah, he also had the tape at West Virginia. Where he was just a physical freak out there on the field. He was just a guy that would win getting to the ball at his highest point and winning one on one battles. And nobody saw him being as big of a bust as he's been.
Well, and it's
30 catches in four seasons.
Yeah, I mean, and the unfortunate part was when he was healthy. I can't remember because I haven't followed him very closely up
there
until
hasn't
this
been
point.
Anything to follow.
But in the preseason, it was either in the preseason or the regular season. 2 years ago, he was healthy for 10 minutes, and he couldn't catch a pass.
Right.
You could see it was just in his head. The Sam Bradford-ness of it. And listen, we joke about Sam Bradford not being able to stay on the field and him being scared of getting injured. Once you get injured so many times, you almost expect it to happen. And it's a complete different mental game than other guys play who are just blind and, you know, go, 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 and guys who haven't gotten severely injured before.
Right.
Kevin White, his whole career has crumbled due to the fact that he couldn't stay healthy. And the first thing that happens when you try not to get injured is you get injured. When you don't go full bore, people get injured. That's an old adage in the NFL and other sports. Once you don't go full bore, you get injured.
Yep.
Because you're trying to. So we'll see what happens here. Listen, the Cardinals, it's low risk and potentially, listen, the dude is a freak. The dude is a freak of nature outside. He can he runs great crossing patterns. He's a big dude. He's a big target. He had good hands until his brain went away from him. So
I mean, it's the harsh reality of the game that these guys play as far as football. I mean, you saw it with guys like Robert Griffin III. Once you lose that ability to be the most athletic guy on the field, your game takes a huge hit.
Yeah.
And a guy like Kevin White, where he just relied so much on his athleticism, could he ever regain any of the form in which he held at West Virginia? That's a big question mark, but you're right. It's a low risk. If this is Steve Keim's Christmas tree and this is his final ornament, he's like, I did it. My wide receiver room is complete. Here it is. Perfect. That you did it again, Keim. Then we've got a big problem with this. But if this is Steve Keim just taking a flyer on a guy that was a miss for another team, one team's garbage becomes potentially another team's, I'm not going to say gold, but it could be something that the Cardinals could utilize, a big physical receiver that they don't have outside of Larry Fitzgerald. I'll take it. I mean, he's got to be cheap.
Yeah, he's got to be cheap. He's right. And the fact his name hasn't been mentioned, you know, Kevin White is linked to a bunch of different teams.
Yeah, if it's the same thing, if this turns back into Greg Little or
Bryce Butler,
who they were going to rely on last year, who didn't even make the roster, then we're in big trouble. Yeah. Then this is like, what the hell are you doing?
Well, now
you're not that. You've proved that you're not the smartest guy in the room.
Well, and they're not, obviously, because Golden Tate, they weren't linked to Golden Tate at all. And listen, he made a lot of money. We knew that he was going to make a lot of money. Surprising where he went after, maybe not that surprising after they traded OBJ.
It's just a weird thing.
Michael Crabtree's still out there.
Yeah.
And listen, I know that, and Bo, you're right. Okay? You're right. I get excited whenever there's a name that's out there that has shown to have an impact in other teams. Look at what he did with Oakland.
Yeah.
He completely resurrected his career, Michael Crabtree did. Went to Baltimore, had a couple touchdowns. They had an awful quarterback scenario there. Probably lost him a lot of money, even though he's
good
early
with Flacco.
30s. Yes, and then Lamar Jackson became a running back, and then null and void. If you need a possession receiver, a picture of Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Crabtree on third down lined up alongside each other. There are two guys right there with incredible hands that are two of the best possession receivers in the game. They are. And Crabtree, he can't warrant that much money.
Where did Michael Crabtree go to college?
Texas Tech.
That's right.
That's interesting. I didn't even think about that. And
was Mike Leach.
Yeah.
But
still.
I mean, there's ties.
So two-year, 15 mil, 9 mil guaranteed, 10 mil guaranteed.
I don't think it's going to take that much.
Really?
I doubt it.
I mean, I think a guy like that, especially a guy, stability in the locker room, kind of an a-hole,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's had his run-ins with Aqib Talib with the...
Who plays for the Rams?
Oh, sweet mother. Bo, you're just... we're doing a Mad Lib together right now, writing a story. On the other side, I have a stat. And it will back up Bo's theory that Steve Kemp doesn't know what he's talking about or doing with the receiving corps.
Are we going to finally get into the Rose and Kyler thing, or are we going to bump that again?
No, we're going to talk about it.
All right, we're going to talk about it.
We got plenty of time. And we're breaking early for the first two segments so we can get into it. Next, Locked On Cardinals. Wrapping up here, Locked On Cardinals, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. So the stat Bo brought up, the big acquisition offensively so far that's not on the offensive line is Kevin White. And listen, we get it. It's only been 48 hours into free agency. Okay? 48 hours. So there's plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that, and they've done a good job so far in kind of alleviating some stress for draft day. Just some. Like, there have been holes that have been filled. There are a couple safeties out there. I don't know if they want to spend any money. I know you mentioned DJ Swearinger and Buda Baker. If there's a safety out there that's willing to take a discount because the market isn't as hot for them as they once thought, there are a couple guys still out there. Like Eric Berry is now a free agent.
Right.
I'm sure he's like a Patriots guy, or he's a guy that's going to want to go win because he's been in the league for several years.
Right.
He's played at a Pro Bowl level. I think he's too big of a fish for the Arizona Cardinals to be able to reel in. So we'll see.
He can't get on the field, though, unfortunately. As much as you like his leadership, you like his story, cancer survivor, it's just... he just hasn't been on the field a lot, and that was what the
But he's an Ed Reed. He's a Bob Sanders. He's a guy that when they're on the field, they're most times the best player on the field. And this is obviously from a couple years back for Eric Berry. He's getting a little bit older at this point. But even Ed Reed, when he was older, when he's on the field, he's somebody to be coveted. And it's something that could actually work in the Cardinals' favor because
right.
you don't maybe not have to pay him as much money to get him in.
I think that's
a reach.
Yeah. I mean, look at the safety position. You can look at the slot corner position. The secondary, you're right, that's a place that they probably have to address before even the NFL draft. That'd be nice just to have a little depth there and then what direction they go in the draft.
Unless they're targeting Greedy Williams, if they're trading down. I mean, there's still so many things to talk about. So the one stat I want to put out there before we get to the number one overall pick, it'll be kind of a progress report because we gave our picks. It was Josh Rosen. We'll see if anything's changed. In 2008, when the Detroit Lions went 0-16, they put up more total yards than the Arizona Cardinals did last year by 400 yards. And they averaged 2.5 more points a game than the Cardinals did last year. So when you look at the atrocity that was the Arizona Cardinals offense, they put up 3,800 yards, 3,800 and change, 800 yards less than the next closest team. 800 yards less. They averaged 14. How do you average 14 points per game as an NFL squad? That's where the Cardinals were on offense last year. Bring Cliff Kingsbury in. Nothing's changed on the offense aside from a couple guys on the offensive line that may or may not help. Because we don't know. Great, Marcus Gilbert, he was a Steeler. That has some merit for me because the Steelers have a blocking scheme that, you know, we talked about this yesterday, is something to be coveted, at least in the run game, as we've seen that from Le'Veon Bell and James Conner last year. J.R. Sweezy, Pro Bowl alternate, great, but not an all-pro guy. They've done nothing on the offensive side of the ball yet. Again, I know it's early, but is there a freak out time where you're maybe looking towards the draft being like, do we need to draft three wide receivers and plug them in right away in an effort to put up more than 14 points a game? Because Cliff Kingsbury does have the, you know, the sling box offense where we're just going to huck it down the field.
Right.
But you need talent to be able to complete more passes and to be better than the defenses that you're playing.
I agree that just with the implementing Cliff Kingsbury as your head coach is only going to make you marginally better on offense. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury with chicken crap, he can't make chicken salad.
Yeah,
He's Mike McCoy torpedoed this offense last year. I mean, they were just
Stone Age.
They were done from the very get go.
Mm-hmm.
So taking that into consideration, you had a rookie quarterback, no offensive line. And David Johnson was just so horribly utilized.
83 yards per game rushing.
It was awful. Last year. Was awful. I'm not going to put that all on Mike McCoy or Byron Leftwich, because David Johnson, if you just watched him, you felt like you weren't watching the same guy that you saw in 2016.
Somebody just got paid.
Right, maybe. Or just somebody that was rusty coming off basically missing an entire season of football. There are so many variables that go into it, and you're correct in thinking that, hey, this isn't just going to get better because you feel like David Johnson's going to bounce back. And this isn't going to get better just because Cliff Kingsbury is now your head coach offense coordinator.
Right.
And this isn't going to get better because Josh Rosen, by, I don't know, osmosis or something, is going to get better, right, in his sophomore season, just because it's happened recently to some very, very good quarterbacks, and Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and Mitchell Trubisky. It's not just going to happen, you know? And the Cardinals, unfortunately, have relied on that do factor, which is ridiculous. Some stupid bettors use that. Like, well, if the odds have been like this for forever, they're just going to change because it's due to happen.
Yeah, it's called the gambler's fallacy.
Right. It's a terrible way
just because
to run
roulette,
a business. You don't
right,
run
just,
a business.
Right.
They're not successful. Right. So, yeah, I get that. You're right. When is it time to panic? Not necessarily right now. I wouldn't be, I mean, outside of number one, because if they are going to stick and pick at number one, and it's going to be Rosen as the guy under center, I got to believe you go Bosa, and then you go offense the rest of the draft.
Yeah, and so let's pivot right now. So having said everything that I just said.
Sure.
I still think they need to go Nick Bosa number one overall.
I agree.
And we've held pat through mm-hmm. this, and we're going to do, like, these are our mock drafts, but they're only one pick.
Right.
Just put it that way.
We'll
get more in depth later, it's still way, way, way.
Right.
I mean, we're still, 6 weeks away almost.
I mean, there's still smoke screening. Who knows? I mean, people are still trying to hack into Josh Rhodes and social media right now. I mean, it might even be Steve Keim and the IT guy at the Arizona Cardinals trying to do that. But it's interesting because when you hear the case for trading Josh Rosen, and it's like these teams, like the Washington Redskins, the New York Giants, man, they would be dumb if they couldn't get a quarterback like Josh Rosen on his contract, and you would have your franchise quarterback
right
at that price. They would be ignorant to do that. It's like, wouldn't the Cardinals be ignorant to give that up?
Well, it depends on – because you're drafting Kyler Murray, right? If you trade Josh Rosen, you're drafting Kyler Murray, so you're going to just start over.
Right.
Even it's going to be more money because the number one overall pick garners more money than the number 10 overall pick. But it's really not that big of a deal when it's what, $4.5 million a year on the salary cap, or $6 million, which isn't, you know, much at all. So I don't think if the Cardinals want Kyler Murray, you need the whole thing about keeping them both. Stop it.
Right.
Stop it. It's not going to happen. It's not. Why? Why would you keep both? And I've heard, we had got an argument on the show yesterday. Quarterback controversy is not good for young quarterbacks, in my opinion. Unless it's an older quarterback and you are set to be the backup, like Josh Rosen was last year over Sam Bradford.
Well,
if it's two 21-year-olds,
created with Hundley is better than bringing in two guys who are similar in age,
right,
who are going to be competing.
It's just like, it's already putting division in the locker room. There were people that still wanted Sam Bradford as quarterback last year in the locker room, which just caused a divide of which the head coach couldn't mend.
Yeah.
So it's not – okay, so let's just throw that out the window, that they should not keep both.
But let's also kind of backtrack here to the conversation that we've had several times, that if Cliff Kingsbury – was not pounding the table for Kyler Murray before all this madness began, before the media really caught wind of it, and Steve Keim wasn't on board with it. And this has been the process where they've completely just crushed Josh Rosen's trade value to where they can't get another first-round pick. This is a fireable offense.
Yeah.
Like, if you trade Josh Rosen for anything beyond a first-round pick,
I would even say a second
Kyler
round.
Kyler Murray wasn't the plan from Cliff Kingsbury's hiring. That's a fireball offense,
in my
opinion.
And I don't think, because of how badly he played last year, if they get a second-round pick for him, I get it. I get it.
I don't.
I mean, it's just not...
We talk about the controllable years and what teams, what they're trading for. They're not trading for whoever's dealing.
They're trading
for
the potential.
I mean, it's not a team trading for Josh. I mean, what have we decided? Josh Rosen would be the top quarterback prospect in this draft.
Yeah.
What are those guys going to garner if you want to trade up for a quarterback? What is Dwayne Haskins, a team that's intrigued by Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, Drew Locke? What are they going to get? You got to start the baseline in a first-round pick. Just because Josh Rosen had a bad season doesn't mean – I mean, we all see the potential. You can't lose sight of that. I mean, this guy was 10th overall mm-hmm. last year, one of the most storied quarterback classes of all time.
He's 22. Yeah. 23. I mean, Bo, you're preaching. I mean, I know. I get it. So back to our thing. We both still think it should be Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
And
that what we say yesterday, you turn your front seven to a strength.
Yeah. Now, what about the offense after that? Because so you have the first pick in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you make at that point you got your guy?
Mm-hmm.
Does the rest of the draft matter? Like
yeah,
do you take
it's huge.
No, like do you take something stupid like your second pick and your third round pick and you package them together to move back in the first round?
I mean,
to draft a wide receiver.
I mean, yeah.
Like, do you go top heavy where you've acquired so many pieces
mm-hmm.
this offseason so far on the offensive line positions of need? Robert Alford, do you just say, screw it, we're going to go get it this draft and get two impact guys and just say, you know what, we're happy with that?
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, at 3-13, you can't toss out any scenario. I think you and I both believe that you could trade down from number one. That's still one of the options, right? In accumulating more picks and then trying to get if you trade out of number one and you can still maybe bolster your offensive line with a guy like Jonah Williams,
mm-hmm.
or you can get a guy like you mentioned, Greedy Williams yeah. in the secondary, or you can get a guy at the wide receiver position, N'Keal Harry, DK Metcalf. I mean, it opens up your options. Also, you talk about that 2-1 or 3-1. Those are two spots where you can still find impact players as long as you're not drafting guys out of Fordham.
Yeah, no, right, yeah. Exactly. Agreed. I mean, and listen, John Gruden's going to be your best friend, it seems like.
Maybe.
Because I don't think they're done. I don't think that he got three first-round picks. I don't think he's going to stick and pick with all of them.
Sure.
So if he wants Nick Bosa, he has a better package to give you than San Francisco. So that kills two birds. One, Nick Bosa doesn't go to San Francisco, and two, you get more for your number one overall pick. And if you get 4-23 or whatever the early 20 is,
mm-hmm.
that's worth moving down. It just is. Unfortunately, you're not going to get the Josh Allen, the Nick Bosa, or the who's going to be three over. It doesn't matter.
I mean, if you get
Quinnen Williams,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So those three will probably be gone.
Yeah.
Unless he wants to move up and take Kyler Murray, which doesn't seem to be the case. Then you're like, now you're kind of in no man's land because your three no-brainers are gone. But you can maximize that
sure.
and get a mid-first rounder. And
yeah, I mean, what if
that would be the ideal scenario, right?
Would Cardinals fans be upset if you had two first-round picks and you went out and you got an offensive lineman and a wide receiver?
No, I mean, I think that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
The problem is you need, and this is the bugaboo with Steve Keim, and we've known this, he needs to gauge what holds more weight for that first overall pick
mm-hmm.
if you're not going to draft Nick Bosa. And let's just hope he doesn't take the most amount of picks. Like, I'll give you a first this year. We'll swap first.
Yeah.
I'll give you a first next year, and that's it. He's like, no, no, no. We'll take the first this year and then two twos next year or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You take the highest level of pick you can get. It doesn't matter the amount of picks.
You're going quality over quantity.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, we will leave you with that going into the weekend. Bo is head down right now. He's probably going to be late because he loves you guys. And we did a podcast. He's going down to see Jordan Hicks today.
J.R. Sweezy.
Just ask him so many questions about his name. Is that your birth name? Are you in witness protection? We'll check you guys on Monday.